Well, hello, this is Jerry Peterson, and we are just about ready to get started with our Sunday message that you might be hearing on Saturday, but we'll call it a Sunday message anyway, because that's when Pastor Mike would normally be delivering it. So let me give you a few announcements before we begin. First of all, I just want to, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I really think it's kind of important to remind you that giving is not just important to Candlewood, it's important to the people who are doing the giving. So let's just kind of consider this the offering portion of our Sunday service, and it really is that important. Just, you know, remember that Paul told the Corinthians that God loves a cheerful giver, but he also said that God will bless the ones who are generous so that they can continue to be generous. So let's keep on doing that. And also, we'll be continuing our various Zoom meetings, at least through the end of May. We're not quite sure how long that's going to need to go on. But, hey, if you'd like to get involved and you're not already, you can host one of your own. You can join any of them. And you don't have to limit yourself to just one. I know that recently in one of the groups that I'm in two of them, Mildred and I are, and somebody mentioned that, yeah, we can we miss some of the other people. And I said, well, you don't have to be in just this one. So let us know if you're interested in that. And also, as far as gathering in groups, we're continuing the wait and see process of that. That's our policy right now. So, but there is the possibility you could meet, you know, we're not going to say you can't gather with people outside and in smaller groups and maintain your spacing. So, so if you want to do that, that's okay. Just please be careful and be respectful of each other. Before Pastor Mike speaks, let me read you a short Bible passage that I want to set the stage with here, and then we'll pray, and then we'll hear today's message. And it's from Colossians chapter 3, just a few verses, 11 through 13. Paul says, "Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that is so rich and so helpful. Thank you for these words of eternal life that show us how we can have the relationship with you that you want to have with us. Father, I pray that you would put within our hearts a desire to have that relationship become closer and more intimate with you, and also our relationship with one another as members of the Candlewood family, as members of the body of Christ, and as members of our community. Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts, that we would be alert to our shortcomings, always ready to receive correction from you, and that we would apply that correction in ways that honor you. Pray for Pastor Mike as he delivers the message this morning, that he would be able to clearly communicate the message that you have for us and help us to submit to your will and to apply these things to our lives, and it will bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.
What topples a good work, a good church, even a good individual in Christ? What takes them down? Turns out it can be a major item, which we all can name if we sat around a group and talked about it, or it can also be a smaller item that's not handled correctly. Also, it's amazing what can actually sink you or take you off track and affect the good work of the Lord that's taking place in your life and how he wants to use you. Let me be very transparent and make this personal. Many years ago, a very good friend of mine, for whatever reason, lied about me to a group of people. I found out about it fairly quickly because they kind of ratted him out, and it hurt me very deeply. And I'd found out about it, but I never talked to him about it. I never wanted to talk to him about it. In fact, there were times that I found myself talking him down and attacking him, all in an effort to hit back because, honestly, he deserved it. If I told you the story, you'd say he deserved it. But as I look back on that now, I realize that God was not glorified in any of those activities, and the kingdom did not benefit in any way at all by his actions and then by my reactions. Generally speaking, many potential situations come our way, and any one of them can hurt us and the work of the Lord that's in us and around us if they are not handled in the correct manner. You know, this morning as we look at the scripture, I just have to say this to you. I love the honesty and the integrity of the Word of God. We usually hear all the glorious stories, especially in Acts, about the number of people coming to know Jesus, and the number grew day by day, and it's all very exciting. But in the passage we're going to look at this morning, it's not so much that way. The writer Luke shares a very tough situation that the early church leadership had to deal with. Basically, that along with the great accomplishments the church was experiencing at this time, he was going to share some now of the messiness that comes along with the people in the church. Because we all know by now that people are messy, and people are ministry, and we're called to ministry, and we're called to people. So this morning, to be a little bit different, I'm going to let the scripture be our guide for us, and I hope that it's a guide for us in our own lives as we deal with our own messiness and the messiness that comes along with the people of God in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we give you this time. Father, this is a story that actually happened. This is a story that could have just been a fracture in the body of Christ if not handled correctly. Just like the many things that come our way, which we don't agree with, or that hit us the wrong way, or that are done against us. So, Father, we look for insight from your Holy Spirit this morning to teach us about how we can handle things right when the seeds of discontentment come our way. And we ask you that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm in Acts chapter 6 this morning, verses 1 to 7. Let me read verse 1 to you of chapter 6 to get this going and to lay out the problem for us, and then we'll see how it gets handled. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. First point this morning is there's a problem here. This is a legitimate problem, and it is a potential fracture point where the body of Christ could splinter over these two key groups in the church. In fact, it's good if you're taking notes this morning to understand that the two groups mentioned here help us to get the picture of what was going on. First of all, there were the Palestinian Jews. Those were the Hebraic Jews. Those were the descendants of the exiled Jews who returned from Babylon and rebuilt Jerusalem around the time of Nehemiah and Ezra. They were intensely nationalistic, and they observed all of the law. They considered themselves the true Jews, and spoke only Hebrew and Aramaic, and they only worshiped in Jerusalem. You kind of get the picture of what they're like. Those are the Hebraic Jews. The Hellenistic Jews, or the Grecian Jews, were the Jews who lived in Greek-speaking territories around the Mediterranean Sea. They worshiped in their own cities, and they were basically the merchants who had left Israel for business opportunities and then ended up staying in the area that they were doing business. History records that these two groups had a dislike for each other and harbored prejudice against each other for hundreds of years. History also records this interesting fact, that many of the Hellenistic Jews, that's the Grecian Jews, would move back to Jerusalem for their later years so that they could be buried in Jerusalem. Hence, the thing that causes this issue. Of these people who moved back, many of the men would die before their wives, thus making the wives widows. And at this time, there was a distribution taking care of the widows, a distribution of food. In fact, it says here in verse 1 of Acts 6 that it was a daily distribution. Now, we've got two opposite groups. And these two groups, out of these two groups, many of them had come to faith in Christ. And they would be fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But the prejudices still remained in these two groups. To add to all this, the Hellenistic converts, those are the Grecian Jews, felt that they were not getting the same treatment as the Palestinian converts were, meaning they weren't getting as much or weren't getting any of the daily food distribution. This happened to be a very touchy thing, taking care of the widows that were among the believers. And this is a very tough time economically as well. So the distribution of food during these tough times became a pretty prickly matter. The Hellenistic Jews were contributing to the common offering and felt that they were not getting their fair share in return. And here we are. We are now at a pivot point. It's a pivotal time. It could go either way. There could be reactions of anger. We know how this game's played. There could be the gathering of the troops. There could be the whispering to each other. There could be the calling of others to take sides. You can keep adding to that list of what went on behind the scenes. And you know what? The bigger picture, you can add to this that Satan now has a chance, a genuine foothold to get in this new movement and can absolutely take it apart. So it is imperative that this be handled correctly, because it looks like the early church is headed toward a split or a fracture, and there's nothing that can stop that. And the result of that would be the gospel message, which was spreading, would be hindered and slowed. People would tell the story as to how one group was treated very much unfairly compared to another. If you look at this, you can probably see it both ways. And I'm sure you can justify and validate feelings and prejudice and hurts. And the key fact here is this, that the people in leadership saw a bigger picture, and they were on the mark right now.
Hey, Mike, have you noticed, though, that Luke doesn't record the tone in which the complaint was given? Was it angry? Was it reasoned and rational? You know, I kind of guess there probably was more than one complaint, and these things were building up. Might have taken a little while to get the leader's attention as the disparity got more and more obvious. But Luke doesn't mention that tone at all, that the complaint, we don't know how it was delivered. And maybe because that's not really important to our response, to the leader's response, that, you know, we need to remember sometimes to step outside of ourselves and see what's going on from other people's perspectives, particularly as leaders, but as Christians and in whatever role we're in, to be able to look at that criticism objectively the way God would look at it. And that's not always easy to do. You know, otherwise, if we don't do that, then we run the risk of becoming defensive. We become ineffective. And, well, what happens is we become a source of amusement for the devil.
Thanks, Jerry. You know, Jerry, I've been looking at church for many years now and observing not just the church I serve in, but many churches of friends of mine who are pastors. And it's amazing to me how when something doesn't go someone's way in that church, a genuine believer in Christ, then when something doesn't go their way, that they react with no regard for the witness of Christ. It seems like they almost like being hurt. It seems like they want to tell others, throwing other people under the bus. It seems like they don't want to mend relationships. This has and does, it's caused much damage to the mission that we've been sent on. And in every situation like that, Satan wins, and our witness is diminished, and the cause of Christ doesn't go forward. It's almost rare to be with believers who do not have something go their way, but be the object of a hurtful situation, and yet react and weigh their reaction according to the Word of God, in light of the kingdom impact and the advancement of the gospel message. Let me ask you a personal question this morning here at this first point. Is there an outstanding issue in your life right now that you've yet to deal with? Do you have something that's hanging out there and been hanging out there for a lot of years? A hurt? An offense? Something that somebody did to you? Something that was really mean? That you're still holding on to? And the truth is that it's still affecting you? And if it is, let me ask you this. What's your plan? What are you going to do about it? As we continue on with this teaching from the Scripture, be thinking about yourself as you hear about how this issue was handled with the early church. Second point this morning has to do with the plan that came up. It's noted for us in Acts chapter 6, verses 2 to 4. Let me read it for you. And the 12, the apostles, summoned the full number of disciples and said, so a very large group, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I want you to note right here that this problem was known, it was mentioned, and this problem was handled head on. Notice the apostles were not defensive about one group or another. They were not saying who they would favor over another or what story they had heard. They just kept their focus, and their focus was they needed to be about the ministry of the Word of God, so we'll find faithful and great people to handle this situation. And the wisdom of the Holy Spirit here, as lived out through the apostles, was to appoint the Hellenistic Jews, the Grecian Jews, to head up the ministry to the Hellenistic Grecian widows. They made sure these men would be qualified because they'd be handling money, and they needed to be sensitive to people's needs. They would be doing down in the trench ministry. And you'll note later, as you track these men through Acts and through the New Testament, you'll see that these men would be used later as teachers, as leaders, evangelists, and listen to this, and even martyred. Also note this, the plan was well received. No record of second guessing or grumbling is in the text here. It was well received, and it went forward.
And I find that really remarkable, Mike, because you notice all of those names that that Luke records for us, they're all Greek names. You know, these 12, the apostles, they summoned the congregation of the disciples, which literally means the multitude. That was a boatload of people. There were thousands and thousands of people in the church, and they gathered together, who knows how many of them, but a whole bunch, probably from both cultures, and they told them to choose seven from among themselves. And what do they come up with but seven names from Greek descent, or Greek cultural descent anyway, and this mix of both cultures agreed to yield to these people who had been hurt and offended, and they selected all Hellenistic men for this responsibility, and the apostles agreed with that. You know, that's the kind of thing that Paul was talking about when in Philippians chapter 2, when he said that we are to have the mind of Christ, and talked about his humility and his sacrifice and his obedience to the Father. And that's going to lead to us living lives of submission rather than grasping and clutching at our own way.
Wow. You know, if you're listening to this podcast, do you have a plan for dealing with the issue in your life that we brought up just a few minutes ago that you thought about so easily? Have you sought the Holy Spirit for his wisdom to form that plan, leading to possible reconciliation and God's glory? Have you asked him for the strength to deal with your issue and to deal with it head on, and then to utilize his wisdom for a solution so that you can finally be freed from it? Now listen, I realize that people you may need to do business with may have passed away, or it's just not prudent to approach them for a number of reasons to bring such a sensitive thing up. But that does not lessen your responsibility before the Lord to deal with it, to forgive them with God's grace, and ask for the courage to move on. I'll just be very honest with you. There was a time in my life that I held several people, items against several people, who had passed away. So much so that holding it against them had developed a real, I would say, hatred in my life toward them. And a well-meaning mentor of mine set me down and heard the grievances that I had, and he validated my grievances and said, you're absolutely right and valid for feeling that way. You are justified in your feelings, Mike. Now, you want me to tell you what to do with those? You need to go before the Lord. You have to have the courage to go before the Lord, and even though there's no way you can talk to them beyond the grave, you need to forgive them with God's grace and ask God to give you the courage to move on. And when I did that, it changed everything in several sectors of my life. Let me encourage you in these matters as we move to point number three. There's a blessing for acknowledging the issue, a blessing for handling it correctly, and it's recorded here in verse 7. There's a blessing for the body of Christ. Listen to the scripture. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. You know, whenever things are done in a way that honors God, there is blessing. And there's no telling how far that blessing is going to go out. Whenever reconciliation is had amongst God's people, there is more fruit for God's kingdom. God is actually glorified. That's because now the Holy Spirit is free to move and act with no hindrances, such as this glaring sin, or the thing that you and I might be holding on to. And notice the results. The word of God spread. There was growth in new believers. And even the leadership of Israel was affected. Historians tell us at this time that there were over 5,000 men in the leadership at this time as far as the priests were concerned in the nation of Israel. And according to this scripture, a great many of those priests became obedient to the faith. This truly describes the kind of church I want to be active in. A real church with real issues and real problems, and then experiences real solutions from the Holy Spirit. And then in light of that, real intangible blessings as the Holy Spirit moves freely among us. Wouldn't you like to experience that type of church? Wouldn't you like to see that kind of fruit that comes from even difficult situations? Let me let you in on a secret here. It's always good to step back and look at the church and talk about the church. But in order for the church to be this way, I need to be this way. In order for the church to be this way, you need to be this way. In order for the church to smell and act and be a certain way that's distinctive and stands out, you and I need to be this way. You know, I think we tend to treat our getting hurt much like we make a stew. We cook it slow and we add ingredients at just the right time. We stir it occasionally. We let it simmer all day. Sometimes we even taste it. And when we come back in the house, we can smell its aroma. And it's not a secret to anybody what's going on in that house. You can tell that there is stew on for dinner tonight.
I've made stews like that, and I thought they smelled really good. And I've been around people who have made stews like that, and oh my goodness, do they ever stink. It's like we go nose blind to our own stew. You know, to us, somebody else's stew of simmering grudges is sickening. But it's not to a buzzard or a hyena that they find it almost irresistible. So when we cook up a heaping pot of grudge, it stinks. But unless we can step out of ourselves and smell ourselves the way God smells us, well, we're nose blind. And that's what humility is. It's not putting ourselves down. It's seeing ourselves with God's eyes. And when we see that anger, that's going to, from God's perspective, that's going to alter how we see it. And we need the Holy Spirit's help for that, though, because we cannot do it on our own. We have to take that step to ask Him to help. Like you said, give it to God and bring it before Him and ask Him to free you from this pain, this simmering, boiling anger that you just can't let go of.
Thanks, Jerry. You've hit it right on the head. And, you know, if you're listening to this broadcast, and you truly have been holding on to something, and as I brought it up a few minutes ago, you went right to it in your mind and said, yeah, that one issue, that one thing, that one person, even a very legitimate hurt, if you've been holding on to something, right now is an opportunity for you to ask God to forgive you for harboring it and festering it and causing it to grow. In fact, now, and you're probably listening to this on the computer, you're probably by yourself. Now is a great time to ask for the courage to forgive that other person for what they've done to you. Now is a great time for you to give it to Him. Now is a great time to ask the personal God who's involved with you, the God who has the hairs on your head numbered. He's that intimate with you. Now is the time to ask that personal God to heal you from this. Would you pray boldly with me right now? You know, we live in a very real world with very real world people who sometimes, I'm going to say sometimes, often hurt us. They don't even realize they've done it. In other cases, they do know they've done it, and they don't even care. Now's the time to do business with that. And if you've been holding on to that for weeks, now really is the time to deal with it. But I'm talking most of us have been holding on this stuff for years, maybe a generation. And it is truly time to deal with this hurt. And forgive that person, even if they're on the other side of the grave, forgive them for what they've done and ask God to now strengthen you and ask the personal God who deals with us intimately with His Holy Spirit living within us to heal you from these hurts. Our Father, flame our desire for you in a new and a fresh way. Flame our desire for the things of you. And Father, bring us back to realizing that your imperative to having us here is to be your representative on this earth. Nothing short of that will do as we seek to bring you glory. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.